Who's not paying their bills, bro? What's going on?
I don't know what's going on, man.
Hey, you lot, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
This is what I'm saying. There's always one, isn't it?
It's the coach of the internet, man. All right, coach of the internet, what's going on, man?
Relax, relax, 1 second. Let me move from this area. It's killing me. All right, so I saw was isn't one, and then went to robot two, three.
I reached up the thing again, plus.
Man's in the West Wing, isn't it? That's why, isn't it? What's going on?
The West Wing, you know.
All right, what's going on, people? It's Richard here, another episode of the Beyond the Athlete podcast. For those who don't know, we like to interview sportsmen and women about their business ventures or things they're doing or other professions away from the field of play. Joined by Manny, of course. Manny, how are you getting on?
I'm good, bro. I'm blessed. Can't complain. Enjoying every day and enjoying the week, man. How about you?
Good, man. Obviously, you know, it's busy, 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 busy. She put out the Aaron Pierre interview recently. He's getting a lot of good feedback, you know. People like his stories, like the one about your pre-season with Brentford and going at the mountains and that.
Madness.
A lot of people have been getting back to me about that, saying that's what's crazy.
Listen, I think every time I told my people that story, they don't believe me. Like, it was crazy. That's why I'm happy that I got Aaron there to, like, be my witness. The stuff we saw in that pre-season was crazy. I'm sure that's why I got promoted that year, to be fair. But crazy, man. Like, that pre-season was like, if I can do that, I can do anything. It was one of them ones, man. It was tough, but it's all good, man. Character building, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, man. What are you saying about Chelsea, Manny? Because you guys are, like, obviously, it's us, Chelsea, Leicester. Are you confident that you can do it? I mean, obviously, you won the other night, but what do you think?
I'm not trying to jinx nothing, innit? Let us just do
it. Nah, but save your trust, man. Don't be shy, bro.
Talk about on the pod, innit? Like, you know how I feel about Chelsea. You know my beliefs. You know what I love.
What do you believe?
two United fans, yeah, you know.
What do you believe?
Three United fans.
What do you believe? I want to hear it.
Listen, we're the best team in the world. That's what I believe.
Hey, Manny, man. Listen, you said it for your chest, man. That's what we want, innit?
Come on, you know what I'm saying?
But it's recorded anyway, so get me. When you finish fifth, we'll come back to this recording, innit?
Listen, snap it up all over social.
I will not happen. I rebuke that, bro. But it's all good, man. Introduce these guys. I've already introduced themselves, innit?
So come on board. Now, listen, we've got two very special guests. Listen, got to check out their podcast, man. It's a great podcast called The Ball Don't Lie. Got Frank Newble and Fear Robinson. Boys, how you getting on?
Yeah, Frank, you start first.
Right, this is a problem me and Phil have. We don't know who speaks first and who speaks second. So I'm gonna go first. Now, me and Phil are doing something brilliant, I think, anyway. And what you two are doing as well is really good. You know, just getting stuff out there for people to watch and understand people's lifestyles and you know, they're more than what they are. Or what they're perceived to be on TV or, you know, wherever you might watch them. And I think that's what me and Phil are trying to do as well, bring a bit of a laugh to it as well, and just a relaxed atmosphere and have a bit of fun. Obviously, me and Phil go way back, so we get on really well, but so do me and Manny, so be good chatting to you today.
Yeah, nice one, man. So how did you guys meet then?
Well, we played against each other loads of times. I think the first initial was, I think it was Derby West Ham, wasn't it, Frank?
Yeah,
I think it was, I don't remember how old we was, but it was like, Frank scored that day. We always say this story. Frank scored that day, but my team won 2-1. I had about 20 people in my family coming to the games and that. So Frank was like, oh, right, who's this boy? Obviously, I had to show him who I was and from Birmingham and all that. But that's the story how we met each other. But the first initial playing with each other was Southend, I would say. And from there, we went at Southend and then went to Colchester this season, obviously. And we've done wild this season, I would say. Both of us linked up really well. Andy Cole and Dwight York, I would say.
Is that it? Yeah.
That's high standards. But in live, me and Phil, we bounce off each other really well in it. So we get on well. Like you said, yeah, we met, I don't know how old we were. I must have been 19, maybe. He's a couple of years older than me, so he might have been 21.
Yeah,
really young. Obviously, his team won. But I saw him after the game. I was thinking, who's this you? Like, with bare people in the crowd. And
From, I had the whole of Birmingham, you know. Literally the whole of Birmingham come to the game. Every game is about 20 people there. Mum, dad, brother, sister, everything, man. Big family, man. Friends, everything, man. It was good, man.
It's good to hear that you lot, you know, you kind of still had that relationship now. But this is the first time we had a pod with two people on there at once. So I'll say, Frank, you go first, and Theo, you go after. Give like one short sentence to describe the other person.
He's from Brum, innit? So everything he says is probably he's a humble guy, innit? So that's why we get on well. And we have a good laugh. So I'll say that about a minimum, that we have a good laugh and he's got a good personality. So that's why we get on.
Yeah, I'll just say Frank's like, say the London, typical London flamboyant boy, innit? That's what I would say. But me and Frank's cool, man. Obviously, we're both fathers as well. You know what I mean? It's like, there's different, how we perceive ourselves is really good, especially, I know that Frank's a good father and the same for myself as well. So like, both of us got two little kids and, obviously, we bounce off each other in the same sense with outside of football as well. So, it's in that sense, outside of sort of going out, we've been out loads of times together. Like loads of things like ping pong and loads of things, different things you do outside of football. We bounce off quite well. We're still waiting for a night out, really, isn't it, Frank? We've been out for a long time. No, I would say that. I know. So, but
maybe lightweight, man.
I'm trying to do stuff about myself in the house, but you can only do it for 4 months, bro. It's too long. Do you know what I mean?
I know. we're still here and celebrate this. You know what I mean? Obviously, what happened, we lost in the playoffs, is one of the things that happens. But we're still here and celebrate the season as a whole, really, I would say. Because, you know what I mean? I thought that we'd done well, especially. And for us to not celebrate, it's not really been, it's been, you know what I mean? Not one to play on your mind. Yeah. But,
good that you said that, because I think it's good to celebrate, you know, even if it's small achievements, it's good to acknowledge it. Because, you know, it's a hard year playing football all year round. You know, people that don't play it, they don't really appreciate, you know, the moments where you try to cherish them. Do you know what I'm saying? Because it is a short career. Mm-hmm. They don't last that long. So, you know, while you're in it, you know, the small things, they do matter. Because when you lose, you're down. So when you're winning and you're doing stuff that are good and achievable, it's good to celebrate it, people that you love in it. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, you know, going back to, you know, your season that you had for Colchester, you know, what's your reaction for, you know, John McGrew being sacked as well at the minute? How are you, is that surprising or would you expect it? Because I know Colchester kind of expect quite a lot from your teams. Recently, you've had really good teams in the last few years. So
Yeah. We've had good squads, isn't it? So, you know, we've always told ourselves that we should have been in the top. I've been there 2 years. Theo come on loan. So my 2 years there, our targets were to be, you know, minimum playoffs. First year, we missed out by a point.
Yeah.
On the last, I think by goal difference, maybe. On the last day or something like that, Newport, one of my old teams came in there and they scored the last minute goal and they got through to playoffs. So that was heartbreaking. And then this year, with all the COVID stuff, we got in there with points per game sort of thing. And then we lost in the first round of semi-finals, which was obviously devastating. And then the manager leaving as well in the same breath, and ourselves as well leaving, not going to be there, renewed contracts and whatnot. So it was all quite a big hit in such a short space of time, considering the year we had. We played Man United in the quarterfinals of a cup, of the Carabao Cup, sorry. Yeah. So that was, it was a good year overall, great year. And we really wanted the year to finish with all the games being played, I'm sure. Like yourself at Port Vale, you wanted the games to be played out so you can have your chance to be in the playoffs. So, you know, overall, it was a great year. But John, obviously the gaffer leaving, it was a bit of a shock, but at the same time, it weren't, because he'd been there 4 years. I feel like the pressure was on him to go up. I feel like he'd done a great job. I think out of all the years, this is probably his best year. And to be left now, or being told to leave, or however it ended up, I think was a bit of shocking news to the boys. But, you know, nothing in football surprises us now. So
yeah, you shouldn't say that. Football is one of them things, and it's a business game, and it's just like, obviously you've mentioned there, he's done well this season, but then it's like, it's obviously the club's made history, isn't it? Like, well, I was watching the game, so the Man United game, the Spurs game. Mm. Like the team, there was a good togetherness with the squad, and the squad obviously pushed on to do good things this season. So for me, it was a bit of a surprising one, but nothing surprises me, because obviously Frank didn't get a contract at the end of it. I was on loan, so it's a bit different for me, my situation. but like loads of those are the senior players didn't get contracts. So it's a bit of a weird one how obviously everything's been affected now because of COVID-19. But for me now, if the key players were missing, then it's obviously something was gonna change where he did get sacked, which is a bit sad really because yeah. Obviously for the time that I've been there, it was good in a sense for all of us. So it's a bit sad thing.
No, I hear you. And obviously, you mentioned about the playoffs. Like, what happened there? Because obviously, first leg, you know, you guys, you know, 1-0 up. What happened in the second leg? Where did it go wrong, in your opinion?
I don't know. I think Theo should have started. However, we changed it. I think he could have started because he's our top scorer. So, you know, you've got to put him with the team somehow. But again, it's all ifs and buts, isn't it?
No, of course.
Yeah.
I would have liked him to have played. You know, maybe I would have played out wide, maybe played up front with Norris or whatever the formation would have been. Just get the players that, you know, that are...
on form.
On form and goal-scoring players on the pitch. Yeah. Even though we're winning, it's going to be an open game compared to the last game because the first game was very tight. We won the game 1-0. The only thing I regret in the whole thing is that we weren't max fit. If we were max fit, I felt like we would have blew them at the park.
What was it like, though? Like the training when he came back? Like how long did you have before the...
Well, we were in a week.
Right? Yeah, I was in... I was in like, what, 4 or 5 days? I come in a day after you, innit?
So, do you not get any friendlies or anything like that? Just straight into it?
We had one friendly against Millwall. We got slapped. we got slapped, but they've been in for a month before, so
they were obviously strange one.
Days in, and then he had a friendly against Millwall. Obviously, the fans won't know this, but this is the facts. A few other players were in maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks before, so it was very rushed. So obviously, when you get there and you're live on TV now, biggest game of the year, just try to showcase whatever you can showcase. But it's like, it's very difficult. But it was the same for Exeter, same for Northampton and Cheltenham. So it is what it is. But for us, it's just frustrating because even at home, we won 1-0. But like, if we're on fire at home, like, we slap teams 4-5, no problem. And I just felt like we just played within ourselves and still won 1-0. And then the second game, you know, goals change games. They scored at vital times.
Yeah, that's it. Did you think it made it a bit more... frustrating the fact that Exeter did lose the way they did in the final. I mean, it wasn't just like a close one. I mean, they did get slapped, didn't they? I mean, like, did that make it a bit more annoying? Like, you know, that, you know, you guys could have done there and made a better account of yourselves.
Yeah, because we beat like Northampton. We beat them during the year. Again, it doesn't matter when you beat who. It's obviously the biggest games that matter. So we lost. So cool. But in our heads, we actually wanted to play Northampton. In our heads, I think I can speak for majority of the boys. You know, as we thought, Northampton, they try to bully teams, and we don't think we can get bullied as much as other teams, if it came down to it. But obviously, they bullied Exeter and they beat them 4-0, and we feel like that, you know, that'd been a good chance for us to play them. But listen, it's all ifs and buts. They've done their thing.
Of course, man.
Yeah,
man. It's just obviously frustrating because I said obviously now I would say for me talking now. We had a good bunch of players, especially like we had a good core of like players that like, everyone got on with everyone in the changing room.
You can see the spirit on the TV, like
you know what I mean.
So
now, like obviously we ain't achieved what we want to do, and everyone, all that group's now been split up. If you get what I mean, so it's like now for me, like I wanted the boys to at least get to Wembley. You know what I mean, just to experience it as a whole, because you know what I mean, things like that don't come. Things like this don't come along too often. You get what I mean? So like with the bunch of that's what I've mentioned about the boys going out and celebrating everything at the end of it, really, because even though we didn't get across the line, I still feel like, you know what I mean, everyone can still get back, still go out together. That's what I was saying to you before. But it's a bit of a, as I said, it's a frustrating one because the team that we had, and I know the players that we had in the team, We should have achieved more. Really, I would have at least get to the finals, and then on the day, we know that we're one of the better teams, I would say, but didn't happen as we know. But just frustrating now looking back because you think you could have been involved in that. Then obviously, me, Frank, whoever probably would have got contracts out that we don't know, but or we probably might have not. We don't know. You know what I mean? But it's just a frustrating thing, really.
On that point, we shouldn't have to fight for two games, no training, for a contract. Like, that's not how I, you know, the back of our mind, that's what we were thinking, but it's poor. We've been there the whole year, like, you know what I'm saying? We bought you 2 million quid to the club. Like, now you're telling us there's no money. Like, come on. We've done enough.
That's
crazy, man.
Yeah, because it was kind of said before the game that, you know, it was you, I think it was Ryan Jackson as well, and maybe a couple of players weren't getting offered any deals.
Yeah.
How did you feel like going into the game, kind of knowing that, okay, they're not going to offer you anything, maybe unless you get promoted? Like, was it in the back of your mind? Yeah, like, how did you feel about that?
Yeah, for me, it was on my mind. But again, then you go, like, it's a different, you have to play the game now with kind of a different mentality. Like, you're trying to showcase yourself. Whereas before, like, Theo knows me well. Like, I'm not a player that really plays for my stats or my, you know, my own good. Everyone always tells me, no, you need to do more for yourself. Like, you're too this, you're too that. I'm thinking, it's just not my style, innit? So to go into that game, having that mentality probably at the front of my mind, thinking, you know what, if I do well anyway, hopefully the team wins. But at the same time, I've got to showcase myself here because other people will be watching. Yeah. And it's a weird one. It's like you're playing, like you're on trial again. But you're lying to TV. You're playing with boys where you're the main man anyway. So why am I on, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a weird one, but again, like, it's just football, and if things get thrown at you, you just got to deal with it. That's what everyone's basically doing. So
that's what you're saying about. I say football is a business thing, as you said, and it's the same thing with the manager, as you said before. You know what I mean? Obviously, like, for me as well, but I thought Frank would say the same thing. I should have probably started the games, and it'd been a different story. But that's ifs, muts, and babies. But for me, if I played the games, and especially the second game, it might be a different score. That's what I personally believe. Mm-hmm. But then, it's like, well, as you said, we're all showcasing what we have to do on the days. But it's like, I didn't really actually know until I read it online. But I was thinking, rah, that's a bit of a big statement to say. Obviously, with this and that, we're not going to get no contracts out of it without even not having a conversation about it. You get what I mean? But
oh, so you found out on the internet?
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't really speak to nobody. You know what I mean? I just found out from an article or whatever. But it is what it is, isn't it? Football's football. You just, at the end of the day, you're there to just get the job done as a team, really, and as a player. You just think to yourself, you go in there to try your best and help the team is the best you can, really. So
I got a call, and I thought it was banner. So when they said to me, "Oh, you know, there's gonna be no renewal for you next year because of COVID," yeah, I was thinking, "What is this? Is this a prank or what is this?"
Yeah.
But then obviously it hits home later on. So I knew me and Jacko and the captain and Comley, we knew before, and obviously us four played, you know, over 80% of the game. So in our mind, we're thinking, right now you want us to come and play, perform for you and try to get the club up. But at the same time, you're not going to even say to us, if we get up, you can have a deal or whatever, we'll have more money. None of that. It's just like, you want to play or you don't want to play. Of course we want to play because we want to finish up the job we've just done.
But yeah.
It's weird, man. But again, like you said, people, you left your own devices. So We try to count on our team spirit, which we had in abundance. You know, it's just devastating that the group's going to be split up now because we had a good mix, like a lot of boys from London, and then, you know, just people that were around the same area. So we connected really well to the amount of what race or what religion or what background you had. Just a great group of boys that really liked each other, got on well. So, you know, got us through a lot of things this year, but obviously not enough to get to the final.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I can speak firsthand, you know, playing for Port Vale. You know, you look at the calendar, you look at the big games, and you guys was one of them. You know, you look at culture, you think, oh, they got players in every area. You know, this is a threat.
Yeah. So, but you don't beat us, though, at your ground.
Listen, I didn't want to bring it up, innit? You beat you this year. Last year, you slapped us at our ground. So,
yeah, no, you beat us. You beat us this year at your ground. You lot played really well that game. You lot made it so hard
for us. We're up for it, man. We're up for it because we know that we can't have anything less than 100 with you guys. Because when we were last year, I think you beat us 3-0.
Yeah. 3-0 at your place.
Yeah, man, it's tough. Like, hearing that you guys are kind of broken up. It's one of those teams in the league that you kind of always know you got to be 100%. So, yeah, man. Talking about the coronavirus time and, you know, the contracts and that, can you give an insight for the fans and people that are listening that are not involved in football as to, like, how you're feeling now in terms of the uncertainty? You know, like you said, you're both fathers, you know, you've got families. How do you feel in terms of, like, supporting your family and waiting for a new contract?
Basically, we're just waiting for it. Both of us got the same agent, actually. Shout out, Rob. So obviously we're waiting for our agent to sort something. We got phone calls, innit? But obviously we're just waiting to see what happens. But...
I ain't spoke to him in 2 days, bro. That's too long.
Haven't you?
Rob on speed dial right now, then.
I've been on the phone to him every day, mate. Just the update.
But you're a nervous wreck. That's why, bro.
Nah. Mate, I'm thinking. But you know what it is? It comes down to schools and stuff like that. Like now we've realized that basically. I was planning to stay in, say for me now, I was planning to stay in Southend for another year. Mm. And my kids go to school and my partner starting a teacher's training. So for me, people wouldn't know that obviously that now I have to move house again, then uproot again, I would say, and then move my family up to another place, which I'm not complaining about. It's one of the part and parcel of football, but there's a lot of stress, man, in the sense of, like as I said, moving, getting all my stuff moved out of the house, because when I moved down here 3 years ago, I rented my place out, and then now I have to tell my tenants that, they're probably there for probably 2 years or longer than that, but now I have to tell them that they have to move out. So for me, it's a bit of a difficult one, because I'm happy with them and they can stay there, but I don't know what's going to happen with football, so I have to move back realistically. So it's one of them things that people wouldn't know that outside of football, looking at us, you just think, oh yeah, you know what I mean, the flashy footballers or whatever, but it's a difficult thing because obviously it doesn't just affect me and Frank, it affects our partners, I would say, in a sense, and our kids, in the sense of they have to make new friends at schools or nurseries and stuff like that. So it's a bit of a different insight that we have to deal with. But I'm a good, well, I would say I'm a good father, and it's a challenge that we have to get on with, really.
Yeah, for sure.
I hear you. Also, Frank, what do you think about that as well? Like, what's your opinion on that?
COVID is mad, so it's just hard. Like I've said this before, there'll be more players than jobs available. So that's so difficult. In any work or walk of life, if you hear that there's, I don't know, 100 students and there's only 50 places left in the school. Parents of them kids are going to be worried and sweating and, you know, thinking what to do next. Should we stay in this area? Like, that's basically what we're doing. And you're playing the waiting game. So everybody's on a waiting list and you're just waiting to be called upon. So it's hard to, you know, we're not kids. We've got kids ourselves. So it's hard to just play with someone's life like that. Just say, you know, there's no renewal. We're going to be using the academy next year. Like, no, what kind of solution is that? So it's tough. Like we have to, like me personally, I have to move out of this house in a month. So we're just trying to take everything out of the house, small by small, week by week. But then it's like, where am I moving to? Don't know yet. Or do we move the kids now to a certain area, you know, where potentially the missus is from, so the kids can go to school there and stuff like that. But then it's like, I'm going to be away from them now, potentially for a year. Do we want that? No, not really. So let's go to the next place. Now we're playing the waiting game. We don't know what's going to happen. The transfer window is open now. It's going to open till October. I don't want to wait 2 months just because clubs don't know what they want to do. Like, difficult.
Long time, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Now, if the first offer comes in now, let's say it's coming, do I just take it because I want to move somewhere quickly? Mm-hmm. People now will say, oh, Frank's gone here. Maybe he's gone there for money, or maybe he's gone there for this or whatever. It's got nothing to do with that. It's all to do with everything outside of football. When the athlete, like, it's everything outside the football, isn't it? So these things, it's hard. Unless you speak to someone, you won't know what's going on. So like Theo said, it's hard. But again, just got to try and make the best decision.
No, of course. No, I appreciate your honesty with that. And as you say, for those listening, like, as you say, just an insight into what goes on. Like, you know, people might just see, like, a certain level and think it's all hunky-dory and that. But
yeah,
you say, it's not easy, man. So what we're going to do, we'll take you back to kind of the beginnings of your careers, I guess, when everything was fresh and everything like that. Where did it begin for both of you?
I come into the game late, you know?
Is it?
Come to the game late, man. Like, literally, I was playing Sunday, like Saturday Sunday league in Birmingham, like Handsworth Little League. Shout out them. So, but it was all right. Like, that was like a proper good league, like, to play football, like Saturday Sunday league, really. And Romulus, I didn't really start. Literally, had my first thing was a trial with Stoke City, when I was about 15. So that was my first initial into the game. But
you did what they say no or something?
No, I was only there for like 6-7 months. But literally, I was just raw in it, like a raw striker.
You was there for 6-7 months.
Yeah, I wasn't there long. I wasn't there long, man. Like, I come
that's,
up, that's, what
bro,
I'm
that's long. Season. That's long.
Nah,
Nami, is that long, bro?
Don't get me
wrong, man. Long, man.
Getting on to
man. Like, it was a trial, or if you were signed for 6 months, then that's
I signed after 2 days.
Okay, you didn't mention that.
I signed after 2 days. Nah.
Richard, in your mind, just say it, bro.
Nah, I'm calm. I'm calm, man.
Listen to the story, man.
Carry on.
It's a good story, man. You know, right. I'm probably one of the someone told me this the other day, the exit trials. This is how I got into football, basically, through the exit trials. I went to, like, I think it was Derby County's training ground. We had like three round robin matches, and then from there, Sheffield Wednesday and Watford. I went to Sheffield Wednesday for a couple of days. It was just bare running because it snowed in, so I just literally ran for 2 days, so I didn't get signed for them. Went to Watford, played against Reading, and I think I scored 2 goals. And we won 4-2 that game. Then I signed from that day, I signed a 2-year scholarship. But me looking back now, I speak to my brother in this by this. I just found out the other day, scouts are waiting outside the port cabins, like, because no one knew who I was, because obviously I've just come onto the scene. I've never played, obviously, the league football where people went from under eights all the way up. From them Watford days there, I played against Watford. I was playing against, like, I think Northern Ireland internationals and all that. And, like, I think one of my friends at the time, Marvin McCoy, was there as well. He was a right back. He was a bit leery in the changing room at the time, and obviously London boy again. I later on lived with him as well when I moved to Watford. But that was my first initial way into the game. So it was, I should say, the exit trial. Shout out to them as well for helping me, because obviously if I didn't leave Stoke and then go through the exit trials that route, then I probably wouldn't have been being a football player, basically. Applied to college. So that was my first initial way into football, I would say.
That's a good story.
It's a different little story, isn't it? Yeah, it's a different little story, man.
That's good, man. It's good to show different routes than that. So when you're at Watford, who did you play with? And like, who was in your youth team? And then when did you kind of make the breakthrough into the first team?
I made a breakthrough when I was about, I think, 17. My debut was, like, I think, maybe it was at QPR, where, funny enough, you was there, Manny, as well, isn't it? Obviously, nothing you was there at the time, but I think you said you were at QPR before when I heard you, when you were saying before. But the players, like, youth team level, so I'd say who's playing now. I think Ashley Young, he was a year older. Adrian Murray, I put us back, still back at Watford now. I'm trying to think now. McNamee, Marlon King, Darius Henderson. There's loads of players that, because literally I was probably training with them. He's a good team, man. Like, he's a good team, man. Jordan Stewart, Lloyd Doyley, all the big players that I look up to. You know what I mean? Danny Shute, who come later on and signed. You know what I mean? I've played with Marlon King with international, and Joel B as well with Jamaica as well. It's just like all them players were there the time that I was obviously growing up and getting with the first team. So it was a good experience, man. It was a really good experience.
How did you kind of take it in? Because, like, obviously, as you say, a year ago, pretty much, you were playing, say, Sunday, Saturday football, to then now playing with all these, like, you know, internationals, established names and that. Like, how did you take it all in your stride? Like, was it difficult?
He struggled.
Nah, it's weird. For me, I just got on with it. You don't really think about all the players and all the names and at the time. You just get on with it, really, because you think that. Well, like, for me back then, I was confident enough, and I just played football, and I knew what I could do. If you know what I mean? So, like, I was just always just like getting on with stuff, and as I said, just trying my best to do whatever I could do. Even, like, I would say, like, pre-season times, I will always try and beat all the players to say in the yo-yo test or try and in the sprint test. I'm one of them busy ones, mate. Like, I mean, I'm trying to win it. I'm winning. I'm trying to win everything. I remember one of the times I I don't remember. I think I did beat everyone in the yo-yo test and that. But then people might think, remember Adrian Buford at the time was like, obviously, you know what I mean, thinking who's this young lad or whatever the time. Because that was one of my main attributes, I would say, just running a lot, if you know what I mean. So let's incorporate that into my game, and I still probably do it to this day, I would say. But it's mad because, like, looking back, you think, you don't really look at all the players you've played against or with. You just get on with your job, really, because you go from team to team and you just so you get on with it.
Tunnel vision, isn't it?
Yeah.
Frank, what about you then? You know, obviously we know you came up through at Chelsea, but how was that for you? You know,
that was good. Yeah, that was a very good upbringing in football.
So I say he's had a good time, mate. Look at the names that you could be dropping now, mate. You know what I mean? Come on,
you know what?
Build him off, man.
Nah.
Chelsea off, man. Come on, bro.
Chelsea was good, very good. Obviously my brother was there first. He's the one that made me even get a trial there. I was on trial at Millwall at the time. It's under 11s, and my brother went to go sign. He was under 6 or under 7. They do signing day for these kids, and I went there with my family and I met Damien Matthews. David Matthews said to me, "Oh, what are you doing? You look like a footballer." I said, "Yeah, I'm on trial here." So, "Oh, do you want to come train with us then for a couple of days? I'll see what you like." I think you're just trying to be nice to my parents. Little did he know, I came down and I run the show for 2 days.
Hold on, real quick. I'm not going to lie. I remember Frank's first day. I swear to God. Because I think you were the same size you was now. Yeah. 11. I was little. I was looking like he's 1 year older than me. I was like,
nah, man, he's not 1 year older, man. He's the same age now, man. He's the same. He's the same.
I'm not ready.
Government experiment, eh? As Jeremy would say, good government experiment.
Listen, man. Listen. Government express train, bro. Listen. So I came down, and like Manny said, yeah. So I trained. Obviously, I trained well, whatever. Within the second day, he just said, "Look, we're gonna offer you a deal, like a 1 year deal." Obviously, that's the best thing in the world as a kid, 11 years old. What was that, year seven? Yeah, year seven. Like, I'm signing for Chelsea, there's no question. So I blanked Millwall. I didn't even pick up the call or nothing. Like, I just missed training and just signed for Chelsea like that. And then, yeah, Chelsea's upbringing was fantastic. I flew through the ages. I always played a year up. I think because I was a big boy, but I was skinny, but I was tall. But obviously, done well. So, you know, coming through the age group over there was brilliant. A lot of players come through there that are playing in league football now, like Manny as well. Like, you know, a lot of players. My age group in particular, or the year below, or the year above, I don't know. There's loads of names, isn't it? Jacob Mellis I still talk to now. Josh McEachran I still talk to now. Kakuta, I still speak to now, yeah.
Kakuta. Wow, what a baller, man.
Yeah, he's the greatest. Kakuta.
Well, where is he now?
He's in Spain. He's in France. He went to Spain. Or could be the other way around. I don't know. But they made a group chat on Instagram, so with some of the Chelsea boys in it, so I'm just banning him there. But, he's the greatest player I've ever played with today. He's one of them players that got away from Chelsea, I would say. He didn't really get the full, you know, chance, or not even the full chance, just the full coaching and just say, listen, you're going to be one of the greatest. Let me look after you. Like, royalty.
Just like the way they handled him more.
Yeah, like, listen, no disrespect to the players now, but if people like Mason Mount and their man, you know, can come through, this guy, he can walk through. So. Mm. But different times, life is all about timing.
It's timing, yeah. Timing, man. Timing, boy.
Our time back then was not right. You know, if you're 21, 22 now, it's brilliant. If you're a good player, you know, you can play Champions League football under 18. Us, we had 20 games a year. That was it. If you scored, you've done brilliant. If you didn't, then you might get released. Whereas now, they got 45 games a year. They play more games than League 2 players. So, they're playing Valencia, they're playing PSG. Do you know what I'm saying? If we had, I do madness against PSG, I'll go PSG.
Yeah,
whereas now, bro, no loyalty.
No, but bro, you get my point. You're probably in the squad for the next first team game. You're gonna madness PSG. Whereas us, it was like, all right, cool. We've got to slap up Ipswich. We've got to slap up Wolves. We've got to slap up Charlton. We slap them up every week. Just saying, didn't make a difference. So it's just about coming through the age groups and then having managers like Brendan Rodgers, who's my manager in reserves when I was 15. I played reserve team football at 15. Yeah. He was reserve team coach. And obviously, then when I went out on low, when I went to West Ham, so I got offered a deal at Chelsea, a 3-year deal, 1-year scholar and 2-year pro. I said no. Guy was Neil Barth at the time. He said, you know, this is a good deal, like whatever. In my head, I'm thinking, there's not many English players coming through the academy going to train first team. You know, at this time, I'm training first team. I'm training with Didier and Ivanovic, and you know, I'm finishing Ivanovic in training. It's not a problem.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm finishing Ivanovic. Bro, well, the first day Ivanovic trained at Chelsea.
Tell him the story, man. What you said to you.
Yeah, like, you know, Brendan Rodgers can vouch for me. So the first day he came, we joined first team, a few of us. Like, I think, I don't know what it was, international break or something like that. There's not many first team players there, but some were there. Ivanovic just signed. So I'm training with him now, and there's a ball down the channel, whatever. I'm young, so I'm hungry. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm ready, bro. Manny, you know, bro. I'm ready to go. Don't let me get that ball first, because I'm throwing you everything. Steps, roll, everything. So the ball went down the line, and obviously he's a big boy, but you know, I'm big enough. So I went down the line, I gave him a shoulder bug. The guy falls over, gets back up. I even wait for him to get back up because I'm going to finish him right now. Yeah. So he gets back up. I give him a roll, double step, go to the right, fake to shoot, chop. The guy falls down again. Then I shoot, score the goal. That was my first play with the first team at that year. So then everyone's like, nah, who's this guy? Like, DJ's like, nah, like, you need to stay with us. Like, blah, 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 Kalu. Essien, the African boys, they always looked after the youngsters, and for some reason, this always did. So Mikel, like, all them boys, I'm gassed, like, I'm 15, whatever. I come back, tell the boys, like, nah, like, it's happened, this is what happened, but boom, no one believes me, obviously. Then again, I think Josh trained with us, and might have been Jacob as well. You know, anyway, next day comes, I'm not doing the same thing, but I'm doing well. I made a joke, like, I said to Mikel, like, hey, tell that guy Ivanovic to stay away from me because he knows what will happen to him. That's high confidence, you know. This is to show you what Fia was talking about. When you're playing these players, you don't rate them like that.
You rate them, but you just do whatever you have to do, bro.
Yeah, of course, man. You can't be overawed, though, can you? Because obviously.
No, you're right. Before that, they're players you use on Pro Evolution. So now you're playing with them. Like, Balak is in the building. Like, Balak is big boy player on Pro Evolution. Now I'm walking past him. Like, what's going on? This is strange. Then Balak, bro, the stories I've got for you is a joke. But I'll give you one about Balak. We went to the first team building, youth team, academy is one side, first team the other side. Come to the first team, but I don't know what for, but we went to go use the gym. Scott Sinclair's in there, me and stuff, Stock is in there. We know the reserve team boys in it, so they're cool with us. But Balak's in there. Balak's doing his, I don't know, bench press or whatever he's doing. We come in now with our coach, and Balak goes, no, like, everybody out. Nobody can work in there while I'm working. We're thinking, like, bro, like, who are you, bro? Jose, no, do my thing, like, Jose, like, you're Balak in your world. You know what I'm saying? In our world, we're big boys in our world. You know what I mean? Like, we're Chelsea, like, we do our thing. Manny, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't lose many games, bro. We're not beefing it. This is what we're thinking. Our attitude, our face is not showing that we're scared. Balak's like, get out, everybody get out. But he said it so angrily that, like, we're thinking, rah, like, so everybody left. And then it's funny because then a few months later, I trained him and he befriended me. So it was like, it was so weird showing that aura of a big man like that. You're scared, but then you train with him and you realize he's just like you. You know what I mean? He made a career for himself. He's a big name, but he's not anyone different to yourself. It's just hard work and dedication and a bit of luck. You know, that
you see, in a scenario like that, is it a case of, like, you have to earn his respect by, like, by doing well in training, or was it you're on the same level?
Yeah, I'm sure he had a laugh with his teammates when he went back into the changing room, because, like, now, as an older player, You know, when I see young players coming, I batter them straight away.
Billion the youngers,
yeah,
batter them straight away.
Nah, like, it's character building, isn't it?
Nah. Yeah, like whatever they're wearing or what car they got, if you know what I'm saying, whatever they've got, like, I'll batter them, like, if you know what I'm saying, oh, you know, you do silly things, but they might be thinking, rah, like, take it home and tell their mum and dad, like, Frank done this. Whereas, as an older player now, you think, I'm getting better in this guy, I want him to do well. Let's see what he's like when he comes back. You know what I'm saying? So that was the kind of things that we were dealing with as youngsters then. But you're dealing with Anelka, Didier, Ashley Cole, Frank Lampard, all these boys like at the building. You're scared to walk past them, but at the same time, you want to be them. So, you know, it's such a great role models to have because you watch them day in, day out. Like people talk about Frank Lampard. Like, he used to run after training. Bro, this guy used to run with bin bags under his jumper every 2 days, like doing fart leg runs. There's no coincidence why he was always making third man runs, scoring 20 goals a year. Like, he was doing this. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, Didier was doing that free kick side tech with Anelka and Ashley Cole every week. Czech was not saving them. But people seem to think he just turns up, oh, he's a great player. No, this guy, he had to work, bro. Drogba used to be a right back up until 23. Now he's a household name as a striker. It's, do you know what I mean? This is luck and it's hard work. So for me to see that at that age is brilliant, but how to hone it in is a hard thing because we never seen these things. We just come from ends. We just playing football. In our mind, it's just about taking it in and that's it. Done. Do you know what I'm saying?
So, basically, Frank's career is down to his brother. Basically, lads, that's the story.
That's the bottom line. What if that story? Like, nah.
Yeah, basically, my brother. And that's why.
Shout out, John. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to him, man.
So moving forward a bit in your career now, what was it like for both of you now to play in the firm? What was it like? A dream come true? Like, how did you feel when you first, you know, made your debut in the Premier League? Obviously, Frank, you was at West Ham, I think.
Yeah. I'll go first, this one quickly.
Yeah.
I'll let Phil finish it off, probably. I was at West Ham, so I left Chelsea, declined the contract. Zola was manager at West Ham. He used to train a few of the boys at Chelsea in the last year that I was there. I trained him twice, so he kind of remembered me. And obviously, agents talk, blah, blah, blah. I went to West Ham. My first game was Arsenal live on TV. FA Cup, first round, or whatever round it was, but Premier League teams, their first round they play, we played Arsenal. Manager told me I'm starting one day before. I was nervous. 17. Cool. Then I, or 18, yeah, 18. Maybe 18 or 17. Anyway, I went back to Deptford Illusion, got a trim, told my brother, I said, look, that TV you got there, make sure you got Sky or whatever it is. Like, make sure you're watching the game tomorrow and I'll be on there. Because this trim, everyone will be judging you for this trim. Cool. He didn't believe me because obviously he just thought this is any boy, like faking another guy, faking he's a pro, whatever. Then, so I went to the game, brought all my family down. I started the game. We're winning 1-0. A guy called Diamante scored. He should have squared me the ball because he went round the goalkeeper and I was next to him. He could have played me in. You know, this one took moments and timing.
Bro, this is, wow, man.
He's
done his thing, but bro, he's an Italian international. He has goals to his name. Me, I'm 17, bro. Just square me the ball, make my name, bro. Wow,
man. Yeah, he might be like a goal bonus or something, man.
No, bro, what I'm saying is people remember moments. If Rashford didn't score on his debut, probably wouldn't be Rashford today.
No, it's true. So, I was like, did you play with that Freddie Sears? Because he scored on his debut, didn't he?
Yeah,
remembers him. Like, that's a bad point.
Me, Freddie Sears, Zavon Hines, Junior Stanislas, we all come through together at West Ham. Tompkins, Jack Grealish. Perfect. I mean, just bare names here, but listen, that's why everyone...
I know, man. Saying,
that was my debut in the cup. When I made a debut in the Premier League against Aston Villa. I started, I got man of the match in a 0-0 game, which is weird. I got man of the match in the way. We played away. I played really well. I was playing up front by myself. All the strikers were injured. John Carew, Carlton Cole, everybody was injured. So I played. And, I took my chance really well. Got a little 2-minute clip from Alan Shearer and that on Match of the Day. So, you know, them things, you cherish them things. So, yeah, that was my first two
that's
games.
That's six, man.
And that's
mine was only brief, mate. It was only one. Well, I think I was unknown to Hereford at the time that year. And I think we got promoted when I was 18. But I come back early. and Watford were still playing in the Premier League. I remember the manager at the time, Adrian Bruford, saying I'm going to be involved. But I didn't know I was on the bench, basically. And I didn't know I was going to come on or not. Obviously, I've been on the bench before, like the year before, and you come on and so close to play, probably coming on some games, don't come on. I think like the year before was the playoff final when Matthew Spring had a migraine, and literally I thought I was going to be involved. Like, he mentioned it, and it was down between, I think it was me and Hammond Buatz at the time. And I don't know who chose to go on the bench, because at the time there was only five on the bench then. But now you think about this, there's seven. So imagine, like, it could have, you know what I mean? Seven, no, it could have, all of us could have, all of, some, about there's nine now, yeah? You're right. You know what I mean? So, like, back then it was five subs. So you're thinking, you might get a chance, you might not, but you're just involved in the 18, 19 man squad or whatever it was at the time. So, like, you're the last three left over with the players. But going back to the debut, I come on for like the last 10 minutes, I think it was, and playing against Newcastle, full house. I think they just got relegated, Watford. But for me, it was a great experience. But you just a little taste to what probably could have been a little bit more. But as Frank just said, their little story and it about probably getting squared the ball, literally breaking from a corner last probably two 3 minutes of stoppage time. Marlon King's got the ball on the halfway line, and literally all you need to do was just turn around and possibly just slide me in. I'm breaking my neck now. Like, back then, I had the night vapes. I mean, them Thierry Henry, them neighbors. Yeah. I was dossing. So I literally, corner kick, bang straight to Marlon King. Marlon King's holding the ball in the halfway line. I just kick it into fifth gear. I'm basically just turn around and slide me in. I probably would have missed. I don't know, but I don't know, but literally,
he didn't slide you in.
Didn't slide me in, mate. Holding onto the ball, mate.
No, he held I remember, I saw you running. Held the ball, man. not today.
That's how you think. Little moments like that, you just think, bruh, imagine you just slid me in and I scored, and it's a whole different scenario, like 18, whatever, scoring on my debut. You know what I mean? But it is what it is, man. I wouldn't change loads of things in football, my football career, man. I feel like I've done what I wanted to do as much, but still can go more. I said, you know, I think there's a big stigma now in football, I would say, especially now the COVID's happening, about older players, I would say. That the older players, and you know what I mean, when you get past 30, you think that older players can't do it as much. But as I've proven this season, and other players out there have probably proven it throughout their careers, you look at Doyle, for instance, say he scored like 20, 25 or whatever, but he's still older lad. You know what I mean? You still can do it no matter what. But as I said, football is
valuing the experience.
It's not valuing the experience players as much now. I think you need it for a blend. Look at Akinfenwa, for instance. You know what I mean? Promoted to the championship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, he's an older head. You know what I mean? You need players like that in the changing room just to help the younger lot, or help blend the mix of the group. But I just think like, it's crazy how football is seen in a different way, but how football is going, I would say, in a different way. As I said,
before it weren't a young man's game.
Yeah.
It's a young man's game, so.
It's interesting, like, you've kind of described it, Frank, with, you know, Chelsea has changed in terms of, you know, the timing now. Because even when I was at Chelsea, like, I was there kind of just before Abramovich came, and then when he came afterwards, where we saw the massive change.
Everyone
kind of knew that. Doesn't matter how good you are. I think Akuta was the one, you know, when he didn't get in the team, everyone was kind of like, wow, how am I going to get in? If he can't get in, no one can get in, kind of thing. So it was kind of tough. And now, like you said about timing, the kind of floodgates are open when you got a manager like Frank Lampard. Oh. And players that have gone in there at the moment have done a good job. So it's kind of give the... Everyone kind of, you know, that little boost in the youth team to know that, okay, you know, if I do well in these games, I can kind of bust there. So it's interesting, man. We talk about timing and that.
But the young players that are playing now, that they've done well. Like Tammy Abrahams, they've gone alone and scored goals. Like, he scored 20 goals at Bristol. Fantastic. So coming back, yes, he deserves a chance. Mount Derby, he's even with Lampard, so he knows him even more than anyone. So, yeah, they deserve a chance and they're good players.
what I'm saying is, it's just like you said there, the timings are different. Like back then, they wouldn't have gone alone to a champ team. They would have gone alone to a League One, League Two team probably, because teams weren't willing to take them players out on loan. Do you know what I'm saying? When I went on loan from West Ham, I went to West Brom. We got promoted from champ to prem. But even that loan was a random one, only because there was a Chelsea link. I think Di Matteo was the manager or something like that, or Eddie Newton was assistant. So that's why I went there. But my next loan was to a League Two team. So I've gone from champ to League Two.
Yeah, it's mad, man.
There's no progression there. Do you know what I'm saying? I've not worsened as a player. Just the next year, like, I'm still at West Ham. I'm still doing bits. Like, what's changed? But now it's like, we have to look after the youngsters. They're the future. Do you know what I'm saying? They're the, you know, the next big thing. And it's brilliant. Like, back then it was like, if Welbeck was the only one making it, then that was it. Do you know what I'm saying? Welbeck, because Alex Ferguson looked after him and he was a great player. But we played Welbeck every year. Like, we knocked him out of the Youth Cup twice. Like, you know, like, our youth team was good enough to be someone else's prodigy. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what we felt like. And if Kakuta weren't going to make it, well, goddamn. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what were we going to do? Do you know what I mean? Scott Sinclair scored a hat-trick every game, bro.
Yeah,
every game, Sinclair scored a hat-trick, bro. And he had to leave to go to wherever he went, Swansea. We're thinking, like, what we got to do here? Just saying, like, John Terry is literally the last player to come out of the academy and do well.
And then now, you're winning youth cups every year, so you obviously got the best players in the country. But
yeah, still, like, what are we doing? Like, we're either in the final or we've won it. Like, what are we doing, man? Like, what are we doing to get this chance? Where now, you know, there's five or six young players in every squad, which is brilliant for them. So I'm buzzing for them. It's just timings. Timings is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, going back to you guys' careers, obviously, like, both of you kind of had hints at, like, loads of clubs, whether it be loans or signed. Like, you kind of touched on that at the start. Like, how does that affect you outside of football, you know, in terms of, like, your family life, moving a lot, and just kind of integrating with new teams as well? Does it get easier the more you do it, or would you like to be settled in one place?
For me, it was...
Good question.
To be fair, yeah, I probably everywhere I've been, I probably knew someone, so I kind of settled in quickly with the group. You know what I mean? Say, like, when I first left Watford, for instance, I didn't want to leave, but I think I had to leave just because of the higher source or whatever, deemed it or whatever. But it was. But then at the time, I went to Huddersfield, and I had my mate that was unknown at Hereford with me. He's actually signed. Did he sign for Watford? He was at Watford. Then he signed for Huddersfield. So I Lionel Ainsworth, he was already there. So I kind of knew him. And then at the time when we got there, I think there was like 7 or 8 new players together. So like through my career, it's always been like somewhere I've been, I've always knew somebody, or I just knew of the players. It's, you know what I mean? So for me, it was kind of easy to transition. But obviously, we can be here all day about certain situations. But that's probably what I would just say as it is, like basically. Everywhere I've been, I've knew someone, but I would say probably similar. We're similar with Frank. I'm not sure because obviously we've been back about 10 clubs. I would say probably. Yeah, I mean, so
I'm thinking about you, bro. We got 50 clubs, bro. my one is most of my clubs have been loans. Like when the number's high, it's been loans. So when people before, they've always gone, "Oh, you've got loads of clubs." I'm thinking, bro, I've been on loan to maybe 6 clubs for a month on loan.
Yeah,
I'm back. So now on your list is like there.
Yeah,
so what's going on? But is that again? I don't really care about that. It shows to me in my mind, I'm hungry to play. So if it doesn't work out somewhere, I'm gonna keep trying to go somewhere. Is that West Ham? I went alone maybe 4 or 5 times just because I'm happy to just be on the bench and pick up a wage. Like, it's not good enough.
Yeah,
but maybe if I was in this position now, this year or last year, I would probably stay at West Ham as long as possible. Just there's a route, I see a path or whatever. Whereas back then, you know what I mean, my last manager was Big Sam. Big Sam came in, said, "Youngsters, this ain't your year, bro. This ain't hey, you man.
Take a back seat, man.
Yeah, man. This ain't it, y'all. That's what he said straight, bro. So me, Freddie Sears, Zavon Hines, like all of us, we just try to cut as soon as possible. I went alone to Gillingham, got called back, played a couple games, then I had to leave. But in general, moving around, it's been easier because I've been single. Or not single, been with your partner. I've been with my partner ever since I was at West Ham. So it's been a long time. I mean, I know Theo's been with his partner for years as well. So everyone's been moving together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've always had my partner, like, it's been good, whatever. So she's helped me settle everywhere I've been. Mm. But now we've got kids, the moving part is not the one.
It's not the one, man.
Yeah. So is it
it's not the one, man.
Is it that makes it tough?
Yeah, it's the kids, man.
Yeah.
You know, kids is not a light thing, bro. It's a life. So you try to give it the best you can give it. And I think, I know Theo does that, because I see it firsthand, and me as well. So let's try to make it as easy as possible for them. But, you know, just example, just, you know, taking stuff down in the house. You have two kids running around and you're not near your family. There's no support. So you're with them 24/7. Lockdown for a lot of people has been hell. But for us, we're with the kids every day. So, you know, it's just like anything. The only hard thing is that we can't take them to soft play or, you know, places they can have fun. Like, we're with them 24/7. Like, my partner, she's with the kids every day. So I might get a little 2-3 hours out of the day in training, and then I come back. But at least I get that. She doesn't get that. You know what I mean? We've got 2 young kids, 2 and 3 years old. So it's hard. So the moving part and stuff like that is harder for parents rather than a player. Like, if me and Fia were single, you know, I'll probably sign the first deal that came over and just say, you know what, come, let's go play some football. Like, or I might even wait 2-3 months for the best deal, for example.
There's no ties, isn't it? No responsibility. Like,
I'll go to Hyde Park, man, have a beer and whatever, chill with my friends, whatever. But I'm not doing that because, you know, I've got to focus on the next thing. Because mainly we're doing it for our families. At the end of the day, that's why we do the board.live media stuff. We might see a path on that side, like yourselves. You might see a path in media stuff or whatever. Go do it. Mm. Not because you don't have kids or you have kids, but for us, it's another plan to help family, do you know what I'm saying? As well as ourselves.
Mm.
You know, we become selfless in that respect when you have kids. So
it's
much harder to explain it, but when you're living it, it's hard.
Yeah, it is mad, like, in a situation, like, you talk about your missus and that as well. Like, there's loads of times a missus had jobs this place and that place, and I say I moved, say, Doncaster, for instance, and then I've got a job offer in Birmingham, saying, and like, I'll say, nah, don't take that job. You come with me to help me, you know what I mean? Settle in, you know what I mean? It's mad. And it's mad, like, stuff that you look, you know, they do come, because you look back and you think, rah, they're putting their life on hold just to help us and protect, like, you know what I mean? Settling us down, obviously, at the time, you never had no kids. But then now you look back, as you said, you look forward now. You have to explain to your kids now, like, why you're moving, or, you know what I mean? I don't think the grasp what's happening, because, like, today, and I'm saying to my little one, I might be moving back to Birmingham. He's like, move back to Birmingham. But I don't think he actually realises that he won't be able to. The little things, like, go crabbing down by the sea, like we've been doing quite a lot, especially lockdown, or going down for walks down by the beach. You know what I mean? It's different living Birmingham compared to South End. So it's like,
you've been breaking
so, you know what I mean?
You went to the beach on that.
Okay. That's what I mean. Hey,
that was bare man. Like, you were one of them man.
That wasn't me, bro. Not where I am. Not where I was, mate.
One of the only black people on the beach, bro. You knew. So I'm protesting, and you're on the beach, bro. Okay.
Even different, man.
Social distancing, you got the mask on and that, it's all right. Nah, but it is mad, man. Like, you think about it, what sacrifice that you go through. But you don't just say, with football, you don't really, you just get on with it, as you say. You know what I mean? You just get on with everything, man.
I'll give you one example. We left Newport, and we had the oldest one was born, and the youngest one was just born. And then we moved from Newport to Colchester. So, in anyone's walk of life, when they've just had 2 newborns, basically, they're not moving. What you do in life, you're saying we've got to stay put, the kids need their upbringing, blah 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 blah. But for us, we moved from there all the way to Essex, from Wales. It's now Essex 2 years. Now I need to go to
get wherever
next.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
to be exclusive, I thought you were gonna reveal the new club. Reveal something.
Ah, man, let's chill. Let's chill, bro.
Nah, it's calm, man. Theo, I want to ask you something quick. Like, obviously, I'll come on to managers later, but obviously, you were with Sol Campbell for a bit.
Let me leave this convo right here.
It's like that, yeah?
That's how you don't walk. But yeah, like, what was it like on him? Because, I mean, obviously, outside perspective, is, you know, obviously I've never kind of only met him once kind of thing, but like, obviously people got their opinions, but like, what's it like being under him, like, in the football show?
Well, I wasn't really there, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Well, I only went back for 3 days to South. I don't know whether it was why I documented. I don't know why I even went back, to be honest, because I was on loan doing well, scoring goals at Colchester. Mm. And for me, I wanted to stay and just finish the job off, really, because realistically, if I was going to go back to Southend, then am I going to play? I don't know. Well, I went back there for 3 days and then I didn't play. So for me, it wasn't involved. Well, I was training, but I wasn't involved in the game on the weekend. So I was thinking, what was the point of me going back? Mm. And I missed the game at Colchester. And, you know what I mean? I could have played that game and probably got close to whatever we needed to do at the time. Mm. But for me, it's a bit of a strange one because he wanted me at Macclesfield the year before.
Mm.
But that Southend, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know if it was the hierarchy, meaning the chairman, that didn't want me at Southend no more, or was it so calm? I'm not sure. But we didn't have a conversation. Me and them had a little conversation about our coming in for the 3 days, and that was about it. But right, and then well, I knocked the door in his office and spoke to him like that, but no one called me in to say come into training, you know what I mean? Like, I had to go in off my own back and say, yeah, I'm here basically, what's going on? But it was a weird situation, man.
A team that are bottom of the league, yeah, they've not won more than 4 games all year, and they've got a guy that's been scoring goals on loan, come back and they don't even speak to you. Well, that actually doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I'll be vexed, man. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
But it's you know what I mean? Like, I was talking to my agent at the time. I was like, oh, should I go on holiday? What should I do? Should I go in or should I not? I don't know. I was in limbo. But literally, I just said, you know what? I'm gonna go in off my own back. Probably just find out what times they're in, and then go from there. Really. But from looking back now, I'm thinking this is actually a mad situation. Like, how can you go off your own back to be going in and doing everything like that when you should be getting just a little simple WhatsApp text saying, oh, I'll come at this time. I want to have a chat with you, this and that.
So you didn't even know what times to go in and that. You just had to gamble it.
Bro, I had to go in off my own back. This is what I'm trying to say. It's just like...
But this
is the weird situation. It's like, I'm thinking to myself, should I go in or should not? But obviously, you know what I mean? I just thought, let me be professional about the situation and, you know what I mean? Just go in.
I called you and said you should be professional.
I said,
go in, be professional.
They
need you.
They didn't need me. They didn't use me. Literally training, they didn't get used to me. It was a mad thing, man. But it is what it is. People don't know the ins and outs about it, but football is... it's one of them things, and you just get on with it. You know what I mean? It's a bit of an annoying situation what happened, but I got on with it at the end of the day and I went back to Colchester and finished off the season in a high, even though we didn't get past the playoffs, but I still finished the season strongly. But
have you been in a situation like that, Frank, in terms of like that's mad, you know? Like,
that is mad, yeah.
Just in terms of like treating you as a man to man thing, like,
yeah, like I think the way he got treated there was like a file. You know what I mean, like, all right, cool, he's on the contract, and that's about it, really. Obviously, they were going through troubled time, but you know, he's a player. He's a value to them. You know, you send a player out on loan, or you let him go on loan, and he's doing well. He's scoring goals well. He scored 12 goals, and your team, you know, your top scorer is probably on 6 or 5. Like, you know, you've got to bring him back and introduce him at least.
Mm.
Say, look, maybe there's a chance or no chance or whatever. Just that combo to have. But again, you can't ask people to do what, you know, they don't want to do. So, just got to be professional. But in general, no, I've not really had that. Listen, I've not always had a good time with every manager. But I've had managers where I feel like I've learned from them. So, you know, whether they didn't play me or played me or not. Like, the best manager for that was a manager called Mick McCarthy. So Mick McCarthy at Ipswich, I went there 21, just left West Ham, went to Wolves for 6 months. Oh, that's the one. The manager at Wolves, he was the manager that I didn't really get on well with. He was some guy from Norway or somewhere like that. And I forgot his name now. But anyway, he was manager at Wolves. He didn't last very long. But I went there because Mick McCarthy was there the year before. So I was one of his signings from the director of football. So I go there now, I'm thinking, you know, Mick's not here. At least I'm at Wolves, great club. Hopefully I get a chance. This guy hardly spoke to me, hardly gave me a chance. Then I left in January. I went to Ipswich where Mick was. Mick, honest as anything. He tells you what it is. Like, if you're playing, you're not doing well, you're not doing what I want, he'll tell you, he'll bring you to his office, he'll talk to you, constant convo. And that's, as a player, you appreciate that. I was young, so I didn't really appreciate it at the time. But later on in life, I thought, you know what? I respect that, because the guy was telling me every day, do this or do that, or this is what I want you to do to play in my team. Eventually, I started playing every game. I played like 30, 40 games in a row. So I was one of his boys. I played. Then my last year there, I don't know what happened, but I think it's more to do with the board. I think if I played a certain amount of games, my contract got doubled. So maybe they didn't do that with me.
I've seen that happen to loads of players, bro.
So that was a bit difficult. I bought an R8. So maybe that got into people's heads as well. 22. I'm coming down R8. I'm even wearing black gloves, so better banner. Do you know what I mean? Just play with the boys and that. Yeah. You know, them things when you're 22, 21, 23, like, you don't take into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And you just laugh off when the older players are battering you. You just think as a, you know, you go home and talk to your boys like, them man are haters or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Whereas now
you think about it, yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
They're held back in them kind of things because, you know, perceptions and stuff like that are taken very, you know, they're taken seriously, which I think is ridiculous, because you should be able to do what the hell you want to do. As long as you're doing your job on the pitch and your character ain't changed, then nothing has changed. But again, you know, I don't want to get into that. That's stereotypes, isn't it? They always think, you know, certain players are lazy or they got attitude problem, whatever.
Mm.
Nick actually never done that. He always spoke to you, made you feel like, you know, you're one of his kids. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They said, what am I going to do? I'm the manager, so if you want to play, let's work on this, work on that. So he's probably one of the managers that brought me in like that, and I thought I would really respect that. If I one day become a manager, I want to be similar characteristics to him.
Mm. Yeah.
So honest, straight off the bat.
Yeah, straight off the bat. Just tell you straight.
You know where you stand, don't
it? Yeah, don't drive that car in today. What are you doing? Do you know what I'm saying?
So moving on to, obviously, you know, you both got a little thing going on. I say little, it's not even little, it's a big thing going on.
Hey, Manny, you told me half an hour, bruv. We're here 2 hours, bruv. I got Mrs. Wilson upstairs, you know.
I'm not talking, bruv. I can't control it. You know what I'm saying? It's good vibes,
bruv. It's good vibes. Feel, bruv. Feel mumbling, bruv.
You're mumbling with a juice in your hand, eh? Hey.
Apple juice, bro. Apple juice. Yeah, stay local.
Leave that one.
Talk to us about that, man. How did the idea come about? Why did you do it? Whose idea was it?
It was both ideas, man. We just literally we spoke about it at Southend probably briefly, but we didn't actually get a chance to do it.
Mm.
But for me and Frank, we've been at loads of clubs. We've got loads of friends in the game, we'll say. So we just thought we'd give a different insight to people's careers. Agents, players, you know what I mean, loads of every walk of life, managers, you know what I mean, we're looking to do agents as well, so, you know what I mean, so it's like for us it's just like giving a different insight behind the scenes to football. So as I said, we've just done Jeremy, Niall and Joby Mackinoff, so we're going to release them soon. And let's give them a little taste of it. You know what I mean? We've got Jeremy out in a minute. It's quite a good interview because obviously he's not a footballer, but he's content out there is brilliant, and we're just giving a different insight to his life, really, of his pathway, what he's chosen. If he could have been a football player, he's been around the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, Sir David Beckham, to name a few. So it's like you're picking his brain and you're learning different things of the football world, you know what I mean? So whatever we can do, we can just help out in the sense of kind of helping like younger players who could be watching that and then learning off certain situations or certain stories where you can listen to that for nutrition. So we're talking about nutrition in there as well. So like little young players growing up, you know what I mean? You could listen to that and then take that on board and then you can make yourself become a better player.
He's dropping gems, isn't it?
That's it, man.
Even this convo, stuff that Theo said there, like some of the stuff I've not known, even though I know him, but like he tells you more of someone's character and mistakes that he might have made or, you know what I mean? Just moments like me and him, I spoke about when we come through and played our first team games or whatever, you know, it was a blur for us. I feel like it was a blur for me. But I want young players maybe now to think, you know, take everything in seriously, like enjoy it, but learn on the spot, like pick up things and use it to your advantage now rather than being 28 or whatever you are later on and think, you know what, I picked up all them things, let me use it now. No, be like a Rashford, take everything and be the leader from 21. Do you know what I'm saying? Be the guy that everyone wants you to lean on, them kind of things. And I think that's what we're doing. He's trying to show people that, you know, in every video, you can pick up something and take it in your book. Like, we're speaking to players that have been there, done that, whatever level it is. If you've played League 2, non-league football all your life, we'll banner you on the spot, yes, but it's banner. Behind banner, like they say, behind every joke, there's a truth, isn't it? So,
yeah,
even in this conversation, yeah, what you two are doing is brilliant because, you know, one kid might hear something and think, you know what, when I get to that point, I'm going to do this differently or do something better or add my unique tone to it or whatever. So for us, we spoke to Nile Ranger, like he said, next, that's the next video coming out. People that will want to watch it, they'll be like, oh, it's Nile, let me hear what he's got to say, like, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what it is. It's hopefully you can hear what he's got to say, but also learn from him and learn from the stuff he's saying. Or, do you know what I mean? Just understand the character more, but as well as the character, the gems that are being dropped, like us speaking to Jeremy Lynch, it's a learning process for us because he's in the media and he's done it big. He's 2 million followers in and 3 million followers there, all that kind of stuff. And that don't faze us, but what we want to learn from him is just the stuff that he's picked up and learned along the way in this media type of world. You know, everything is social media now, isn't it? So,
no, of course.
Everything you're doing now is, you know, you're in a bracket of social media. So people are going to watch you and you might think you're new into it or whatever. People are learning from you and thinking, all right, cool. He's got a headset on. I'm going to put a headset on maybe. I might do this. Do you know what I'm saying? Them kind of things.
Yeah. Really
so, no, of course.
Hey, they ain't going to put that headset on, though.
Don't worry. No. I think they're going to Call of Duty or something.
That'll be
good.
I was waiting for someone to go on that, you know, Frank. Man's got his walking.
I see him going to the fridge now. I think, where's he getting another headphone or something? I think, what's in my
head? Like, your man was fresh out of the gulag, innit?
You know it, bro.
About your video, like, who does a production? Because it looked clean, like,
yeah, it's sick.
Kind of grabbed me when
one guy I know through a barber I met when I was at Ipswich. Oh, and I just introduced him to Theo, and obviously it's down to Theo and me to just go, can you do the job for us? All we want you to do is just video it and produce it for us. Make sure the edits are, you know, what we represent, because it's hard when someone records something for you, they're going to edit it how they want to see fit. This guy ain't really into football, so he doesn't really know stuff for us. So everyone we interview is like, wow, I didn't know this about this guy, or is that like a fan sort of thing. So we got to try to tell him, look, this is how we want it done. We just want people to see the real people, like, whatever. So if we're, you know, we're drinking in a couple of the episodes in the first one, just to make people feel relaxed, like, whatever. These man's thinking, well, I didn't know people drank or whatever. But feeling, bro, everyone's human. Like, everyone can do what they want to do. Let everyone be themselves. Oh, we're going to go play golf with people. He's thinking, oh, you lot play golf as well. I thought, you know, only white players play golf. Like, them kind of things. Like,
yeah.
Yes,
different things, yeah.
Yeah, different things. And I think so far he's done a good job. So it's just a random guy called Reese, and he's got a production company that he does music videos for certain artists in London, which we didn't know of before. But now, obviously, we know he does good things, so we're lucky to have him. You know, we pay him a small fee to do it as well, so, you know, he's getting his pennies in it. But at the same time, for us, it's all made from us. Everything's our pocket and, you know, our efforts. So when we're free, we try to go film, like Theo said, agents, and we're trying to get female footballers in it as well. You know, just to get overall board, so we cover everything.
No, man, that sounds really good, man. So is this something that, you know, both of you kind of want to get into when your careers are over, kind of thing? Or
just basically, yeah. I would say, like, we're doing these interviews and we're giving a different insight, I'd say, to different people's lives. Like, as I said, agents, former football players, normal football players. Probably we try and get physios or whatever. But throughout this time, we've got another 10 years left in us, I would say. For both of us, I don't know what Frank's plan is, well, but obviously we're trying to build ourselves up to when we do finish, we're going to be involved in. So we could be on BBC, we could be on Sky Sports. You never know, but that's our plan at the end. At the end of the day, to
just give these interviews, more people like us on TV, different backgrounds and whatever. So if we can start from the bottom, just like anyone, you know what I mean? We don't feel like, could we play football, we're going to get a free pass anywhere. I always feel like I've always needed to be 3 times, 4 times better than the person next to me anyway. So, you know, I'm sure other people share that. I'm sure Fia shares that as well. So we just got to keep working on our grind. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is a grind because it's not a game for us. We actually want it to succeed. So as much as we're putting the content out there, we don't really care that maybe it's not getting 30,000 views or 20,000 views. We just want it to, people to be seeing it and go back on that 2-3 years time and go, you know what? We started it properly. We've done everything the right way.
Mm.
You know, we're not going to resort to changing things because people are doing certain things on Instagram and whatever. Just be unique, be yourselves, and just do what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like yourselves, you're not doing, you know, this more than athlete thing or be behind the athlete and stuff like that. It's brilliant. That's a unique, unique thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. Just caring about what the people are like behind their sport, whatever they do. It's unique. So you've got to stick with that and, you know, it'll go a long way. I think people that have done well in their lives, they've always stuck with what they believe in. Mm. If they expand later on, they expand. But for us, that's what we're doing. And hopefully, you know, it can go further and further down there.
Full respect to that, man. And kind of like away from the media side, do you guys have any other like business ventures or kind of other things that you guys are working on like, away from the football kind of thing?
For me, I'm just doing, I'm coaching. I finished my coaching badges last year, so I'm going to start.
Well done, man.
Cheers, man. Mm-hmm. So, like, I actually finished with, I would say, Aaron McLean as well at the time, because obviously he's been let go of his job. It's a bit of a weird one for him because, like, he had a 3-year deal, you know what I mean? For me, you got a 3-year deal, you should honour the contract, but that's another day for another story. But there's quite a few good players that I don't, Lionel Ainsworth done it at the time, as quite a non-league players and normal people of walks of life were doing it. Zavan was doing it as well. And a guy called Hack that's in the group every day, he makes me laugh, man. But he does like the under nines and the under tens of West Ham. But there's loads of different people you meet. I'm doing the courses, and it's actually a good thing because you're learning as well. Mm. I don't know, with my friend Jason Dimitri as well, and he's obviously still at Southend now. But for me, just you learn from everyone in different ways, where it's called the magpie, what you say in the coaching world, where you take ideas and of what you want to do moving on. But for me, I've set up an Instagram and stuff like that, where I'm going to do 1v1, 2v1 and small groups. Well, it depends where I'm going to be. Hey, I'm going to be in Essex or Birmingham.
You can charge them.
I know.
Down on that, Jose.
So we should be training. We should be training anyone, mate. The players around. You know what I mean?
I've seen them houses where you live, bro. I've seen them houses, man. Charge them a high fee, bro.
I don't know what's going on, mate. I've got everything patterned down here now, and I might have to move. You know what I mean? See, even stuff like that, what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm just about to do that, and because some parents from the school have asked me to do coaching and that.
Mm.
But it's like now I'm going to be moving, so it's like do a set up down here. I do a set up in Birmingham. Do a set up wherever I'm going to move to. You get what I mean? But it's just like loads of different things that's on your mind. But obviously, the board online is probably my main priority at the minute for me, because we need that to grow, and that's what I want to be the biggest thing at the minute. Obviously, the coaching stuff, that's just another thing that I'm trying to do outside of football as well. But for me, the board on lies the main prerogative.
Yeah, I'm the same as well. Really, coaching. I was trying to do it this summer, but obviously couldn't do it. But I want to do coaching as well. I said to Theo, he can be my assistant wherever I go. It's not a problem. I'll look after him.
Just make sure to have the days off.
Who's going to give the hair dryers out of you two then?
Yeah, I'll be giving that. Theo wants to be the cool one.
I'm the cool one, man. I'll be the cool one, man. I'll be the banter with the lads and all that.
Haircut in 10 years' time, then we're in trouble, innit?
Why is he wearing a hat? Ask him why he's wearing a hat.
Nah, man. Leave that one alone. Hey, listen.
That's it, man.
I'm doing coaching. I want to be in the game in football. I want to stay in it. You know, we put our lives in this. So,
facts.
When people say they want to walk away from it, I get it. If you've got loads of money, then brilliant for you. But for me, it's not even about, even if I was a full-time millionaire, I still want to give something back into the sport, because we love it. Football, even when you leave the game, you're still checking your phone for scores, like, or even on holiday or whatever.
Yeah,
so, you know what I'm saying? If I can stay in the game, that would be my ultimate goal. In terms of other stuff, like, I've got friends and families that are in different walks of life that I try to learn and pick up things on. You know what I'm saying? One person in particular, a close friend, works with like stock exchange and stuff like that. And then since lockdown, I've been learning so much stuff from that stuff. I don't want to go through it now, but I've been learning every day, literally picking up things and picking his brain, just because it's something new and it's a challenge. Mm. And I feel like challenges are always, I like challenges. So that's something that I'm going to keep pursuing in my off time, anytime I get free to learn you know, stocks and stuff like that.
So that was going to be like kind of led into our next question. You know, like a lot of the people that I've interviewed have kind of said that COVID-19 has kind of forced them to look at other streams of income and, you know, other things that are kind of, because like, we football is such a short career, but in anything, you never kind of look towards the future too often. So with this, now you're kind of thinking to have their stocks or property or other things. So it's good, man. Yeah. Looking at other things as well, man. Really good.
Good as well. I feel like youngsters now, if anyone listens as well, you know, whatever club they go to, whatever area, try to buy in that area. Do you know what I mean? Try their best to do that. Do you know what I mean? If you can do it, because you don't want to be chasing your tail later on in this kind of walk of life. And two, just pick things that football isn't the be all end all. Like, we are humans at the end of the day. We're going to have to live a life after football. Do you know what I mean? People that talk about us in football, you know, they're doing something that can last for 20, 50, 30 years if they want to stay in it. Football doesn't last that long. So, you know, as well as everyone's buzzing off Messi and Ronaldo, like, what are you doing for yourself? Because you're not going to have Ronaldo, Messi money or, you know, their contracts or their deals they have with Nike and Adidas. So, you need to find your niche, find something that you like to do, and do it. Like, if it needs to be studies or go university on the side or use the PFA to help you fund your media course or whatever you need to do, do your research. Because, you know, while you're playing COD and FIFA and that, you could be finding 10, 15 minutes, like, just go find out some more stuff that you could do to help yourself. The one day you might have a kid and you're thinking, you know what, I want to pass on something to him as well, other than just football. Do you know what I mean? It's not every day you're going to have to go to, you know, we're going to Port Vale, we're losing to Port Vale. Now, what am I going to do? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to be upset because I lost to Port Vale. Let me be upset and then let me go find something else as well that can benefit me in a better way.
Take your mind off it as well.
Just playing 2K for the rest of the week. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
Man, you kind of acted me there with the 2K talk still. I'm not going to lie, that hurt.
Oh, listen, you can DM me, you can message me, you can DM me, whatever, innit? I'm local.
Just don't play FIFA because he loses all the time to me.
Is it? Busy on 2K, bro. That's why
I don't play no more, to be honest. I've retired.
Come on, man. Nah, man, that's good, man. And I think, so I mean, we're in an era now, I think, spoken about it, like, for a lot of the people we've spoken to, I think back in the day, you know, a lot of it was like, you know, you just got to focus on the football, nothing else. But as you say, I think, what it seems like anyway, it seems like, you know, guys like yourselves, obviously Manny as well, like, you're being encouraged to kind of explore other avenues. Like, so how important do you think that is, especially for, like, young players coming through to, like, obviously, yeah, football's like your number one, of course, but to have that kind of broad horizon.
I feel like...
Go on.
I'll be quick for you. I feel like, you know, like, we watch people like Graeme Souness and them man on TV. Like, there's a reason why they're on TV. It's not because, you know, they've got all the money in the world or whatever, but, you know, these guys have won titles at these places, wherever they've been at, but they're still continuing something else. Like, so there's, maybe they started something too late or didn't save enough or whatever. These things, you've got to think about these things because it's important, because that could be you. So if you get a chance to, which everyone has a chance, as soon as you're an adult, in my mind, you can make your own decisions. Like, if you don't want to go out and party with your friends for 3 months, in that 3 months, what can you do to maybe pick up something new or help yourself find out information on properties or, do you know what I mean, whatever you want to do, stuff like that. I feel like youngsters, I try to encourage my two little brothers to find out more about everything. Just pick up things. And you might think, you know what? I can do this. This is easy to me. Like, whatever. Like, school is not the be-all or end-all. No. You go to school, you're learning 7 subjects a day. What are you really taking in? Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, you're crying because you didn't get GCSEs. Okay. But what are GCSEs really going to do for your next life? Like, it's not every GCSE is going to help you to the walk of life. So, in my mind, I always say, just try to pick up everything you can. And as an adult, or just be the best you can be at what you want to do. Do you know what I'm saying? If you want to be a builder, go and build. Do you know what I'm saying? There's no GCSE for that. So go build. Go learn your trade. Like, you can make money from that. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're a media person, you're funny, go be funny. Geography is not going to finish you. You know what I'm saying? You've got a D in that. It's not going to finish you, bro. Just go and be what you need to be. So that's my point of view on that. I'll let you round it up.
Yeah, basically, I would just say this. You threw me off there a little bit. What was the question again? You've been on this, bro. Nah, you've been on this call for long, bro.
Nah, it's just like kind of how good is it to see that, like, you know, back in the day, everything, like, you know, if players was like, you know, football only, don't think about other things. Like, what do you say to young players coming through that, like, okay, we're actually in an era where you can actually explore other opportunities and that as well?
For my opinion was similar to Frank's, but I would say, adding to that, you get loads of time off, especially in football. Obviously, some players probably might go gym in the evenings, and some players just play computer games or do whatever. But I would say, similar to what Frank says, they're trying to pick up a course or do stuff. There's loads of things that people are doing. I think one of my mates that plays football, Robbie Simpson's got a website where you can do loads of stuff where you can do your career outside of football or do a course or something like that. I think Marvin Soldado started up another company where it's helping players networking outside of football as well. So everyone's trying different little things to help football players, because I think football players, is you have to just get on with what you have to do. When you play football, that's it, it's done. And just not really, there's not really no one guiding you in a sense. Obviously, say your parents or your brothers or sisters or whoever you got that's around you. It's like, for instance, myself and my brother, he told me to invest in property when I was 19, and I've done that and I still got the property. It's like little things like that. If I didn't invest in that, I probably wouldn't have had that property, you get what I mean? Stuff like that. So it's like,
it's important,
you know what I mean? It's important, things like that, because, like, at the time, you're not thinking about properties or you're not thinking about certain things, but you're getting guidance from other people where they're older, and you're learning from their mistakes, or you're getting help in the sense of you're going to learn to do things, certain things that will set you up for after football, for instance.
But, deep about how many Premier League players have played football in the last 10 years, and there's probably about 5% of them that you've heard about what they're doing.
Imagine
if they were all on minimum 20k a week, let's say. Like, what are they doing? What are the rest of them doing? Like, they're probably struggling. Just not being the person, or, you know, what they thought when everyone said to them, just stick to football. Like, football's done now. You're not going to get the 20k a week or whatever. Now you're on whatever, £400 a week now. What are you doing with that? Like, them people, you don't have.
You just
hear from the people that wanted to be on TV, like the Jenny Redknapps and all that. All his teammates, what are they doing now? We don't know. But we should have them, because they were great players. Like, what's going on? Do you know what I'm saying? So, in this world, when I heard Graeme Souness all battering Pogba and that, and Jay Lings for doing his clothing brand and all this stuff, bro, let him enjoy himself. Not even enjoy himself. Let him do what he thinks can help him in his later life, benefit him and his family. Because everyone does things personally. 9 out of 10, you're doing things because it's personal to you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Look at Marvin Morgan, for instance. It is a good story about that, because, like, he got told not to play football. That's it. He ain't getting told to do his clothing live, and probably the manager's telling him this and bantering about it. And then it's like, look, that's doing well now. He's probably, don't know what the manager's doing, whatever the manager was at the time. Probably out of a job. You know what I mean? Because that's what my managers happens.
Imagine he's playing for United. He was doing that hat thing. And he went to a promo video. And they lost the game to, I don't know, Spurs. Big game on TV. He didn't score that because he was thinking.
This side of media is, though, for certain players, I would say. But I would say my advice to players, like, just do what you have to do, because at the end of the day, football is a business game. So it's like, as much as you want to be the football player and have a longevity career, you still have to think about, you know, yourself, and have to think about what you want to do as well as football, as after football as well, because it's a big thing. Obviously, I'm coming to the end of my career now. I've been, as I said, talking about this with Frank, for doing the board on life for a long time now. And obviously, we're actually doing it. You get what I mean? So, obviously, besides, I said, building this up for the fact of, I know it's going to go well in the future. But this obviously, now we're putting in the groundwork from it now. Yeah. And then, obviously, you know what I mean? The coaching, you know what I mean?
So, this will really be. Do you know what I'm saying? Bro, look how many times I played injured. What does that count for now, come the end of the season?
No one knows.
But if I was doing something on the side, board online, they'll go, oh, he was focused on the board online. Or maybe he didn't go to bed late. He went to bed late because he was filming with Now Ranger. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's weird. I'm in the media and that, like, I see some of my colleagues used to kind of hammer players for that. I'm just thinking, I think now, obviously, there's big talk about kind of like obviously diversity and whatever. But obviously, if I'm the only one there, obviously I've got a voice to say like that's wrong. But
correct.
Right. When I'm younger, you know, how much weight does that hold? But I feel like obviously now I'm older. Do you know what I mean? I can say like, no. Why are you doing that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for real. It's not that though, isn't it? With the older, you feel like you got more weight though, isn't it?
Yeah. Because obviously, when you're young, you still got your day. Like you're there for a reason. Obviously, like, do you mean you're good enough? So like, I don't know. Like obviously, you're younger. You might have been shook or whatever because the big name or whatever. But now it's like, nah.
Well, if I like say that to me now, brother, put me in a headlock. Calm.
Man, talking about the ball don't lie. Like, what's the long term vision that you guys have got for it?
Hopefully, I have his channel, innit, Phil? Hopefully,
yeah. It's basically, you know, like I would say, well, we've both been talking about it. Obviously, we're doing it now, and we're doing quite well with it. Mm. I would say more or less, I have our own show because we're just like the ideas that me and Frank have got, the content out there. I don't think no one, if we had say like if we had the backing of BBC or Sky or Sky Sports here. Yeah, I think we will be as big as Anton Deck. That's what I believe. Anyway, you get what I mean. And we'll find
our space. Like we'll grab it with both hands.
Yeah.
It's like Akin Fenway has found beast mode.
Yeah.
Strongest man on FIFA. Then Pro Direct comes. JD comes. You know what I mean, all this kind of stuff comes, and he's a great character. So he lives up to it, which is fantastic. But you know, other people have got that as well. I've got that side to them. Or I don't know. They want to share brilliant things with people, and our thing is quite unique. Where there's two of us. And we've both still playing and played for loads of teams. So we can actually just call anyone. Like our next thing, we're calling Tyrone Mings. Like he was my youngster at Ipswich. But he's a big boy in this game in football. Yeah. So, you know, getting him on the thing would be brilliant. People be like, oh, you got Tyrone? Like, oh, these lot are doing all right. But for us, it's like, no, he's just a friend.
Nah,
like,
yeah.
Cool. Mm. Then, so we got to use you what you use because people use you. So use them, man. As well as much. As
all by leverage, innit?
Yeah, man. Use people because people use you. But using that, the word use sounds derogative. Like, it's not in a bad way. It's like use each other to help each other, you know, succeed.
Facts. Yeah.
On that note, boys, I'm going to watch my... Get me. I'm going to watch my...
We've got a quick fire round. We normally ask everybody, like, 6 questions. Quick fire questions. Answer as quick as you can, yeah?
Cool.
No worries, we'll go Frank answer first and Theo second, yeah?
Cool.
You go first, Rich.
All right, cool. So, boys, best player you played with and against?
Ooh. I have to do the howl for this one, you know.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, yeah, we've got the hairline and that.
Right, the hairline. Hey.
He said hairline.
I'm in the dark.
There's all big man, so listen, it's all good, man.
All right, cool.
For a reason.
All right, best player I've played with.
And again. Listen, right. You're the one wanting to go, you know. Why are you taking long?
You're right. So, man. All right, cool. The best player I played against, I was on the pitch for, was Fernando Torres at Liverpool. Mm. Best player. I was at West Ham and he was the best player. He scored a hat-trick that day at Upton Park. He chopped up Tompkins for every goal. 3 times. Back, goal. Total 90s. Were blue total 90s. I remember it clear as day. All right, cool.
Fernando Torres. I think, man.
At Liverpool, sorry. El Nino. And then the best player I played with, I'll say the most consistent because I don't want to do best player. I'll do most consistent player was Scott Parker at West Ham. He was a joke. Literally every game, 8 out of 10. Win, lose, or draw, he was consistent. Like, he was the best player. Like, he used to do a turn that Xavi does, where he just turns on himself all the time. But it looks like...
Yeah, I remember. I remember playing against him a lot of time.
Turn, and, doing turn, that. And then turn again, and then he's out. Right? He used to do that every game. In training, he never spoke. He wore black boots. He was South London boy, and like, you just never heard him speak. But when he played, you heard him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
that's my answer for that.
I can't think of anything like that. Best player I played against, I would just say Hernandez. I'm just thinking off my head. This is another striker. For Jamaica Mexico game. He was on the pitch. He didn't actually score anything, but we drew the game 0-0. So I would say that was probably the best player I played against. Can't off my head. Obviously, his finishing is a joke. He's obviously playing at LA Galaxy now, but obviously at Man United, he was just doing his thing. And obviously, Man United fan, so you know what I mean. He was a good striker to look up to.
Yeah, one and I mean? Two. Scored one and two games, mate. It's a joke.
So I'm saying, is it for me as well? The type of striker I am, I watch him and see what he does. I start trying things that you want to do in it. He's finishing it. Yeah. Oh, it's a poacher, mate. Hey, the last. You know, I was reading it today on Instagram. There's something about strikers, the last man. The deep line midfielder and the target man. What I've said, I am the last man. That is me, put down to a T. I can do a bit of both, all of them, but the last man is me.
No, you can't do a bit of both. You can do last.
I can do all of them. Watch the new video that comes out today. Tomorrow, by the way. Watch the video that comes out tomorrow. And I'll say the player I played with, I say Will Hughes at Derby County. It was at Derby County at the time because
I didn't even get a shout out. No, okay.
No. I'm sorry, man. Unlucky, man. Honourable next time.
Honourable mention.
Yeah. All right. Honourable mention.
Hey. Yeah.
Best manager that you guys have had. Just reel off the name.
Go on, Frank. You go first.
And it's prime.
My favorite manager, Gianfranco Zola.
I'll say my favorite was. Brewford, because he gave me my debut and like spoke to me quite a lot, and you know what I mean, that's, I'd say Brewford for me.
Cool. What's the best game that you've played in?
I'll say mine was our new Huddersfield against Newcastle, scored 2 great goals at St James's Park, but that's probably my best game. I would say we lost the game 4-3, but I remember this, everything was going good for me that game, and obviously I scored 2 goals, and it was at St James's Park. For me, that was a good highlight, I would say. You put us on a spot, man, isn't it? You know what I mean?
best game, my first game for West Ham. Yes, Arsenal. FA Cup. We lost 2-1 because Fabregas and what's his name? Eduardo came on and scored 2 goals in the last 2 minutes. So that killed my heart. But that was the best game because I was really young. It was my debut.
What's the best book you've read or what are you reading now as well?
I'm reading... The Chimp Paradox, that's, I've been reading that for quite a while now. I'm getting through that at the minute, and I've just started reading more books about Black history, really. I'm teaching the kids little things like the little leaders, just telling them about different things where obviously we didn't even learn Black history in school. We only learned it for 1 month, so I'm just learning myself about Black history to tell my kids. So that's the books I'm reading at the minute.
Yeah. Best I've read. I'm not a reading guy. I'm a visual guy. I like to watch stuff. I don't like to read. That's just what I'm like. Best book I've read, probably Peppa Pig.
Hey, the bedtime stories, eh?
Hey, there's about 12 different books, mate. Honestly, they're a joke.
who would be the dream guest to get on your show?
For me, I said R9. Yeah. R9 for me. Could just say hairy stories and being at Real Madrid, Arsenal, Inter Milan. You can translate it to me, man. But just anything, just to learn anything from him, just even listening to him. You know what I mean? We're picking up. Obviously, when we speak to people, we try and pick off of the what they do and the little things. So for me, that would be R9, man.
Yeah, Drogba for me.
I've been
written.
Drogba, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Last but not least. Frank, what would you say to the 16-year-old Frank? And Theo, what would you say to the 16-year-old Theo?
Oh, great question.
Good question, isn't it? It's a cracking
question. It is.
I'll tell him to keep persevering, keep working on your game, like after training, and have no days off. That's what I tell myself. Literally them things, nothing else. Because I feel like, you know, when you're a youngster, you have them thoughts in your mind anyway, when you come from nothing, but you can be easily swayed. And then, you know, some things, you know, it goes through you. I think just take things in every moment, take it in properly. And then I can make a better understanding of what it means at the time, rather than later on understanding what that meant and what this meant. So just take things in and keep working in the game every day. That's what I say to myself. I feel like that was something that escaped me, you know, as the years went on. I feel like, okay, it's fine. It'll be fine next year or next time or whatever. No, let's do it now. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's what I tell myself.
I would say be patient, because for me, when I was, say, 16, 17 or whatever, I would try and go and play, try and go out on loan, let's say, to different teams just to get it's more experience and try. I was basically, I was just hungry to play. No matter where it was, I wouldn't want to sit on the bench. So I would just say be patient in the fact of you never know what could happen if someone can get injured or stuff like that. So
I would say,
mate, the first touch is in the net. That's how it goes.
I like that, man.
Just be patient. Just be patient, I would say, for myself.
Cool. Yeah,
definitely.
Listen, man, we appreciate your time, guys.
Yeah, man.
We enjoyed this thoroughly, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it. No worries, man.